Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got an outstanding show coming up for you today. But first, I want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the Fandabulous Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline's Counseling Services, the Veterans 211 Hotline.
And, of course, I want to thank all our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And, of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. And if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired programs are up on most of the major podcasting sites, so you can enjoy SBN at your leisure. And if you like to listen to Tom's Tirade on demand, you can do that via CastBox.net. And we do have a packed show for you tonight, so you can always go to ScuttlebuttNetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. And coming up later on SBN, we will speak with Mr. Nathan Ewan from Gardberg and Kimberly, one of our legal eagles over there at Gardberg and Kimberly. He will get us up to speed on some of the latest legal issues facing our veterans today. And, of course, Tom's Tirade on Sympathy for the Devil. You don't want to miss it. But first, it is a pleasure to be joined by Mr. Nick DiMario from Ed's Seafood Shed. Nick, welcome back to SBN, and glad that you survived Miss Sally.
Oh, yeah, it was a very scary night.
Yeah, she was a wicked lady.
Man, I'll tell you what, it was, I lived down in Gulf Shores. It came right up on us. It was definitely a scary one, and then the aftermath today was crazy.
I can imagine, Nick. I understand that they don't have any more sand beaches over at Orange Beach now.
No, it's it came through Gulf Shores and then bared toward Orange Beach and just crushed it.
Man,
some friends of ours, tons of them. The cars had water in them, as well as houses.
Oh, my goodness. Well, she was a nasty lady, I tell you what. She aggravated a bunch of people, and she's still aggravating a lot of people because we're out of power over here in Mobile with a lot of places. I know my section of the city that I live in is down, but it's funny, you know, when you drive around and then the neighborhood right by yours has got, you know, got power, and you go down two more blocks and that neighborhood's got power, but it skips yours and it goes to the next neighborhood and they got power. I'm going like, what happened? None of us paid our bill. You know?
Yeah, she drove in the Mustang very, very slowly.
Yes. She messed up. I'll tell you what, I've never seen so many trees and all down and all. But, you know, I think it was kind of a blessing for you guys the way it came in for as far as your facility on the causeway. It sucked all the water out of the bay, so you didn't have to worry about any high water over there.
Yeah, I mean, the parking lot's never got a better cleaning job. It looked like it was just done. Just very flat, very nice. I mean, we had a few things that happened. A couple of the rails blew off, a few of the flags, but you know, our dumpster pad area got knocked down pretty good, like most people's fences.
Right.
Other than that, we, you know, Ed just keeps, you know, making it through another storm.
There you go. And just, you know, tried and true. It's always there,
gonna,
you know.
We're going to try to get back at it tomorrow and see what we can do. You know, right now I think from county to county, power is the biggest issue
right
that we have. We have half power in that building, so that's a good thing. Keeps all the stuff refrigerated, but, you know, we got to be able to have everything to be able to operate and serve guests.
Right. Well, I see they've got over 500 power units in the city. I passed several of the units parked at a motel over here that's close to where our studio is, and I see they're parked out, headed out to on the road, because I think about daybreak they'll be rolling.
Yeah, I wish I was in the wood chipping business. I got a feeling they're going to be pretty busy for a while.
Yeah, if you could chip it and sell it, you know, for grills or something to make pellets out of it.
Yeah, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, man, I'm glad you came on with us here, and we're just looking forward to seeing you get back, get open. I want to come over and partake of some of the fine seafood that you have over there.
Hey, it's just another little bump in the road of what all we do, and weather is part of living in the greatest place in Alabama, and we'll get past it, and everybody will come together, and we'll get back to normal.
Well, it's kind of like I tell people, you know, it ain't nothing but a thing. We can work through things.
Yep.
You know,
we'll be frying seafood and gumbo and greens and breakfast and oysters and everything else you can imagine within a day and a half.
Man, I didn't realize how good the fried green tomatoes are. Woo!
Yeah, that's number one selling appetizer.
And that sauce that you got to put on that?
Crawfish cream sauce, yeah, man.
What you say?
Mm-hmm. You don't like heavy cream and crawfish and butter and salt. Oh,
I know. It ruins me. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it. Appreciate you working with us on the show, buddy.
Y'all be safe. Bye-bye.
All right. Looking forward to seeing you over there. Cal, looking ready. We about ready to go get some of that seafood, man, over at the fabulous Ed Seafood Shed.
Well, you know, absolutely, Tom. I mean, it's great to know that in terms of the structure, there wasn't much damage that was done. But of course, you know, the challenge is with, you know, the power out. And yeah, it's not just Ed's that has the power out. But as you said, there are very large areas of both, you know, the Mobile County and then down the Eastern Shore that were affected. So, so you've got a lot of folks that may be going, well, you know, I can't cook at home tonight. Let me see if I can go find some place to find some good food and maybe pick it up or go just enjoy dinner out somewhere. So
right,
that would certainly be a great option once they get up and running. And, you know, it's just, you know, these hurricanes are fickle beasts. And, you know, this one certainly toyed with a lot of folks along the Mississippi coast. I mean, I know over in much of the Mississippi coast, a lot of that was still shut down today, even though the storm had made that turn and headed into Florida. So, you know, you just cross your fingers and you know, sort of thank God that we didn't have Loss of life in the numbers that we have. You can always replace stuff.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir.
Hey, on the other side of the break, we'll talk with Mr. Nathan Gulen from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans, for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. Hey, also check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And it is always an honor to be joined on SBN by Mr. Nathan Gulen from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly. Nathan, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service to our veterans.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm glad that everyone made it through. It sounds like relatively unscathed and everything, so I'm glad that that everyone's doing well and you know, making it through, and I guess getting cleanup going now. So I'm happy to hear from y'all.
Man, I tell you what, go ahead, Cal.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's great to be able to talk with you tonight, and great to be able to be on the air, considering that the storm just sort of rolled through the area and did a little bit of damage in some areas and a lot more in others. But the folks down here are used to it. They will improvise, adapt, and overcome as we veterans have learned to do. But Nathan, one of the topics that you've thrown out there, and this is something that I'm normally pretty good about checking the information that's out there, but apparently there was some sort of VA breach in the VA, and some hackers were able to gain information on about 46,000 veterans.
There's basically there was some kind of data breach that happened, I guess it looked fairly recently. The article that I found and I was reading is from yesterday afternoon. About 46,000 veterans had personal information that was accessed by what they're calling unauthorized users, the most important of which obviously would be Social Security numbers. But that's definitely something that's a little concerning, and definitely something you don't want to be happening, especially really with the federal government. Something on that level seems to be a little bit kind of dangerous there. So it's certainly interesting.
Well, now, do they know, or are they telling us who they think is responsible for the hack? I mean, was it North Korea or China, or was it, the Russians? The Russians are always trying to hack into somebody's server.
Yeah, I hear you. So, yeah, I don't know. They actually, they don't seem to know yet. They're calling them unauthorized users at the moment, and I know that they're doing, they're really... currently in the middle of an investigation to try to figure out a little bit more about who was trying to get in and get this information. It sounds like from kind of what they were trying to do with the information, I'm not exactly sure if there's anything political. It sounds kind of financial in some respects, but which I thought was kind of interesting. But it's definitely, they don't know yet, but they're certainly looking into it as quickly as they can.
Well, that's always encouraging when the VA says they're looking into it as quickly as they can.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Thank you.
So do we know what the goal of the hackers was? I mean, was it like a Unabomber manifesto that was sent out explaining what was going on?
So it's actually kind of funny. To me, at least, it's almost like they're just trying to take the money not from the veterans, but what it seems like is that they said that they were trying to use an online application to basically access payment information, and what they were doing was trying to divert payments that were supposed to go from VA to community health care providers that are contracted through the VA, and instead of having the payments go to those doctors, they would be obviously going to the people who had been who had gotten into the system. And so they weren't trying to actually get it, didn't seem like they were necessarily trying to take the information or anything like that, and they really weren't even, it doesn't seem like, trying to take money from veterans or anything of that nature. Is more just trying to get in the middle of the VA and these doctors that they're supposed to be paying for this medical care, and trying to kind of siphon off the money by changing and diverting those payments. So it's kind of an interesting, I guess, motive.
Well, it, you know, it's an interesting motive, but I mean, it's that's kind of something that, you know, the federal government does every, you know, on a daily basis. You know, they'll allocate something here and then they'll suck it out to somewhere else and not tell anybody.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Hey, we might have been hacking ourselves.
I was about to say, I mean, it very well could have been someone in the, you know, in like, you know, the Department of Agriculture that was over there trying to suck the money away.
Yeah, HUD or somewhere.
Yeah, really. But so, you know, I mean, here really is well, I guess there's a couple of questions. I mean, what has the VA taken any steps to notify these veterans that apparently had their information exposed?
Yeah, so they took a couple different actions. So the first thing they did is actually the Financial Services Center that determined that one of the applications had been accessed by unauthorized users. And so they reported that to, they went ahead and took that application offline, reported it to VA, and they're, you know, currently doing an investigation. But what they said they're going to do now is they're going to basically send letters to all the affected individuals, including next of kin, because apparently there's some information for some deceased individuals that were potentially at risk. So they're going to contact them. There will be some instructions in there, but they're basically going to be, it sounds like, you know, offering credit monitoring and some other services, hopefully, to just try to make sure that if any of this information was, you know, was actually compromised or was taken from them, you know, it's being used against them in some way, that hopefully they'll have a way to catch it, and it won't be at any expense to them. So I think that among some other instructions will be included in that letter about how to protect themselves and take some steps to make sure that, you know, their information isn't being used in any kind of negative way.
Right. Well, you know, and I think probably a follow-on question, if there was something that they were doing that was in between, you know, the VA payment center and these medical providers that they are, I guess, contracting with, I guess, you know, a further question is, you know, did they access any of the information on the medical provider end? Because then that would open up another can of worms, and it may be too early in, you know, in the investigation to really, you know, say how far they might have gotten. But, it, you know, it certainly is disturbing one way or the other. So what is it that the VA is recommending that veterans or the affected veterans need to do to protect themselves?
So, you know, they're basically, like I said, they're going to reach out to them via the mail, I guess some snail mail. So if you go VA, it'll probably be even extra slow from them. But, yeah, they're going to, like I said, provide some credit monitoring at no cost, and then also providing some other instructions on how to better protect their data. But right now they had a spokeswoman from the department basically said that they are, you know, currently investigating in order to protect the integrity of said investigation, that they didn't want to comment any further. So there's not at this time a whole lot of detail about, you know, what they're doing to try to get to the bottom of this. So hopefully in the days to come, you know, we'll learn a little bit more about what's going on, maybe who's behind this, and, you know, what information might have been put at risk.
Great. So, you know, so this is something that has happened relatively recently. So veterans shouldn't necessarily be waiting over the next couple of days for a letter, and especially if you're, you know, if you're waiting with all of these mail-in ballots that are out there that apparently nobody knows exactly where they've gone. I mean, this letter from the VA might get caught up in all of that, so it may not show up. You know, it may show up after the election in the back of somebody's trunk.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, knowing them, you just need to keep your eye out on your mail just generally, even if it looks like fairly innocuous or like it's something that's not really that important. It may be, you know, some information. Hopefully they label it appropriately as urgent or, you know, important information or something like that so that you know that it's not junk mail. So, but just, you know, everyone keep an eye out. It'll definitely, I know, you know, my wife's business relies, she does art and greeting cards and different things, and I know the mail has been taking forever, so even with VA, I'm sure it'll take even longer. So everyone just, you know, keep checking your mail and make sure you're keeping up with it.
Yep, and of course, yeah, I mean, you know, check if you have the opportunity, you know, to check your credit report, make sure that, you know, nothing fishy, so to speak, is happening there. So, though, as you know, as always, you can go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com. For more information, on the other side of the break, we'll have more with Nathan Gulen from the law firm of Gard, Berg, and Kimmerly when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
No, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters here with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our numbers, 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. Hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
And we certainly want to thank all of the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimmerly, and all the folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifelines Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
Hey, and just a quick programming note. Next week, we will be broadcasting live from the fantail of the battleship USS Alabama on Mobile Bay at 1 p.m. We'll be right after Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan. That's next week at 1 p.m. from the battleship. And again, we're speaking with Mr. Nathan Gulen with the law firm of Gard, Berg, and Kimmerly. Nathan, thank you again for joining us.
Absolutely. Glad to be here as always.
Well, you know, Nathan, I know we've got, there's one of the topics that we've talked about numerous times here on SBN, and I know we've talked about it with you and your colleagues, but that is the topic of the burn pits that were used, well, most famously in Iraq and Afghanistan, at least of late. But burn pits are no stranger to the military. They've literally been used as long as there have been military bivouacs. You've had some sort of way to dispose of waste. And obviously the VA, like it is with many things on the healthcare side, they're a little late to the game. It only took them like 40 years on the whole Agent Orange thing. So I guess we should be happy that they're at least addressing the burn pit issue with the registry. But there's some folks and some momentum on Capitol Hill, at least it may be a little late in this legislative session. But there is at least a new bill that it looks like it's pushing the VA to expand benefits to veterans who may be ill from toxic exposures, such as burn pits. So tell us a little bit about this legislation that's happening. I think it's actually starting in the House.
Yeah, so it's really, it kind of, I guess the best way to say it is it would kind of address the modern soldier's Agent Orange, right? You know, for Agent Orange, Vietnam-era veterans, there's a list of about a dozen different, you know, diseases, disorders, whatever the case may be, that have been deemed to be due to Agent Orange exposure and are presumptive. And so if you can show that you served in the, you know, appropriate area and you have a current diagnosis of whatever that whatever disorder it may be or disease that you do have that's on that list, then you get benefits for that. Well, you know, that's not necessarily true right now for burn pits, although there is a lot of information out there that would, you know, support a link between those and certain you know, respiratory, skin, GI, a lot of different issues that, you know, different veterans are having. And so basically, it's kind of an interesting group of people. There are Capitol Hill lawmakers, so Representative Raul Ruiz and Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. But then there's also former VA Secretary David Shulkin and actually comedian John Stewart, who was the host of The Daily Show. He's actually kind of expanding his view. He took a big role in getting benefits for 9/11 emergency responders who were exposed to toxic, you know, environmental, I guess, hazards when they were responding in 9/11. And so he's kind of taking up the mantle on this, too. And so it's a pretty interesting piece of legislation. I think it could be really beneficial.
Well, and yes, and you've sort of mentioned the interesting players in it. John Stewart probably being the most interesting and colorful character from that group. And it's interesting how they've kind of brought him into the fold because, as you said, the original legislation for the, I guess you could say, the air quality issues from 9/11 was set to expire. They had set a window on it, and so that has had to have been renewed at least once in order to continue payments to those people that not only the first responders, but just the New Yorkers that may have been exposed. And so he has now kind of shifted over and said, hey, you know, I mean, if this works for the people who were exposed because of the 9/11 terrorist attack, and he uses some colorful and I think maybe some biased language, but he said, you know, hey, look, if the terrorists can cause this, we should be able to take care of the soldiers that have had this done to them by the U.S. government. So anyway, you know, he's, you know, if you like The Daily Show, then, you know, you'll like him. But yes, they are pushing this legislation. So what is the current policy at the VA regarding claims connected to the burn pit exposure?
So, you know, current policy is basically the same as if you have any other kind of injury from service. You have to prove affirmatively that it's related. And so it's a little bit more difficult than, you know, most things. So, for example, if you have an accident in service, whether it be a motor vehicle accident, a fall, something like that, and you hurt your knee in service, you have records for that. You know, you have treatment after. There are different things that kind of have a paper trail that shows a link, you know, you can make that connection. But with some of these things, there's not, it's difficult to make that connection. It's not as easy, especially, you know, it's for veterans sometimes to even navigate the VA system, which is confusing as it is. You don't necessarily know, and they don't tell you exactly what you need as far as evidence goes, and, you know, what that may look like. And honestly, with some of these things, you may not even know that they're connected, and it's not really their job to know that it's connected. It should be, you know, if the VA has information like this, then, you know, they need to be looking out and doing the same thing like they do with Agent Orange and, you know, have a list of presumptives where these veterans who are having, you know, similar issues that, you know, you can't really deny, you know, can get the compensation that they're entitled to. So right now, it's the same thing as if you had a hurt knee or something like that. You have to show that affirmatively that it did it, and that's a pretty difficult thing to do sometimes.
So currently there are no presumptive disorders that the VA concedes are due to the burn pits.
So they will, they recognize some temporary health effects related to burn pits. So some respiratory and skin and eye and GI irritation. And so, but they won't, the tricky thing with that is even if you concede that there is irritation or maybe temporary health effects, for VA benefits, you have to have a current and ongoing, you know, issues. So you have to have a diagnosis, you have to have treatment. And so temporary issues really kind of keep them off the hook too, because they're temporary. And so if they resolve, then they're kind of off the hook for the benefits there, and kind of a, you know, kind of a loophole. So they do, you know, they recognize enough to where they can say, hey, we see some of it, but not to where they're having to pay the benefits, you know, that we would hopefully, you know, see them pay to veterans.
Right, right. Well, so what are the numbers when it comes to how many veterans and servicemen may have been exposed to these burn pit hazards?
So there are estimates that as many as 3.5 million American troops have been exposed to airborne hazards similar to or exactly like burn pit emissions since 9/11. They do have a VA airborne hazards and open burn pit registry that veterans can add themselves to. It's a voluntary registry. And so far, there's been 212,000 veterans and troops that have added themselves to that. And I guess getting more specific, you know, from 2007 to 2018, there were roughly 11 to 12,000 claims for illnesses from veterans that they believe were caused by burn pit exposure. So, you know, big numbers there, you know, depending on which ones you look at.
Great. Well, Nathan, we appreciate you being with us. I know folks can go to Gardberg Law for more information. They can also go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Again, Nathan, thank you for being with us, and thank you for all that you do for our veterans.
Thank you all for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
Outstanding. Hey, on the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on sympathy for the devil. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Mr. Tom Claxton.
In all the faux outrage over the killing of the Iranian terrorist General Qasem Soleimani, you might have missed the fact that we lost two of our heroes in uniform this weekend. The two soldiers were killed when their vehicle hit an improvised explosive device in Afghanistan, where paratroopers assigned to the 82nd Airborne Division, the Defense Department announced this Sunday. The IED attack took place Saturday in Afghanistan's Kandahar province, which borders Pakistan to the south. Killed in the blast were Staff Sergeant Ian P. McLaughlin, 29, of Newport News, Virginia, and PFC Miguel A. Villon, 21, of Joliet, Illinois, according to a release. Both soldiers were attached to the 307th Brigade Engineer Battalion, 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 82nd Airborne Division out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I hope that the irony of this event is not lost on the communist Democrats and Trump haters out there, that two members of the 82nd Airborne were killed just days after their fellow soldiers were deployed to Kuwait as part of our quick reaction force in response to heightened tensions with Iran, and they were killed by an IED, which was the calling card of murderer Soleimani. As I mentioned in last week's tirade on American First, McLaughlin, who joined the Army in 2012, leaves behind a wife and four children, while Villon joined in 2018 and survived by his mother and father. Now, I spent a fair amount of time trying to keep up with the news, especially when it comes to our military and veterans. Yet, I have not been able to find hand-wringing Chuck and Nancy or their Democratic communist thrones over the deaths of these two American heroes, which is a stark contrast to the beatification that the left wanted to bestow upon the very evil Soleimani. Even George Stephanopoulos, heartily conservative Trump supporter, felt the need to challenge the speaker on her support for the protesters in Iran trying to overthrow the hardline mullahs that have run that country since the 1979 takeover by Muslim extremists. Here is the Botox beauty in her own words from the ABC's This Week with Little Georgie.
We're seeing now demonstrations in the streets of Iran against the regime. Do you support those protesters, and would it be a good thing if they brought the regime down?
Well, the protesters are protesting, as I understand it, this brand of protesters, about the fact that that plane went down. And many students were on that plane, and these are largely students in the street. I think the Iranians should have not had commercial flights going off when there
was... They're calling at the regime for lying. They're saying death to Khamenei as well.
No, well, whatever it is. But the fact is this, there were protesters in the streets before against the regime. after the taking out of Soleimani, there were protesters in the street joined together, as you know, against us. That wasn't good. Taking down this plane is a terrible, terrible tragedy. And they should be held accountable for letting commercial flights go at a time that was so, so dangerous. But there are different reasons why people are in the street. Of course, we would love to see the aspirations of the people of Iran realized with a better situation there. But escalating the situation, unless we've exhausted every other remedy.
Which we haven't?
Well, we don't know that. We don't know that. And if the first first action to be taken on the threat of... there are a lot of bad actors who are doing bad things and threatening bad things to us. We know that, Iran being one of them, and it being a its proxies doing bad things to our interests throughout the world. But how do we deal with that in a way that calms rather than...
Now, don't get me wrong. Anyone who has listened to SBN for a few minutes should know that I am no fan of Nancy Pelosi. I believe that she is a vapid airhead whose Botox injections have seeped into her cranium. How she can think that her comments were in any way coherent are beyond belief. And yet, here she is, the third in line to the presidency, blathering on about just which protesters were out on the streets in Tehran, even though it was widely evident that they were shouting death to the regime and the current Ayatollah Khomeini. The fact that her greatest excuse for not coming out in support of those yearning for freedom under the dictatorial mullahs was that somehow she didn't have all of the facts further demonstrated her lack of intellectual honesty. Either she has failed to receive intelligence briefings that she is privileged to, or she was too busy hitting the cocktail fundraising circuit to remember. I mean, come on. At least Obama, Curry, and the Hildebeest blamed protests on a video that no one had ever seen in order to lie to the American people about Benghazi.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
Reality is that she is so desperate to remove Trump from office that he could successfully overturn the Iranian regime and replace it with a peaceful democracy, that she would accuse him of stifling the religious freedom of the Islamic terrorist mullahs. Make no mistake about it. Pelosi, Schumer, Schiff, the squad, and their ilk on the left have no real plan to improve America or promote safety and security in the world. All they care about in the end is power, their own damn power. They care not for the average men and women of this nation, even less for our men and women in uniform. They will stop at nothing to destroy this president and his legacy. The Russian investigation, the attacks on his family, the phony impeachment, the constant labeling of Trump as racist, bigot, homophobe, misogynist, and WASP, among other things, are evidence of their guttural, irrational hatred for a duly elected president. What is most galling is that every time they attack President Trump, they also attack each of the red-blooded patriots who support him. I believe that in their blind rage, they have allowed themselves to fall victim to the old axiom that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. This is certainly apparent in the ongoing story of Iran. In other words and actions, Speaker Pelosi and her communist-leaning drones have aligned themselves with the hardliner mullahs in Iran over the people seeking freedom, including patriots such as you and me. I only hope that they realize that they are laying down with the devil in the process, and that is a deal that hardly works out in your favor in the end. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Flaxton. I guess you could say they have sympathy for the devil.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, broadcasting live on 106.5 FM and streaming live at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple of Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, Tom, certainly a good tirade there. And obviously it's been a few months since that one first rolled out. But we pulled it back out of mothballs, I guess you could say, because apparently there are at least news reports that Iran is looking to avenge the death of Soleimani by apparently taking out one of our ambassadors to, like, I don't know, South Africa or some, right. some random, you know, it's, and you have to kind of wonder, you know, why would they pick such, you know, I would say something of an obscure ambassador to be able to take out. I mean, it's not as if, you know, you're attacking, I don't know, Syria or Libya.
Right, yeah. But, you know, it's funny that the only thing I've heard in that regard is the fact that they say that she is a personal friend to Donald Trump. And Donald Trump, his answer is, whatever, if they do that, then they will, we'll go after them 1,000 times more.
Well, I mean, he doesn't need Iran to go after his personal friends. That's what the Democratic Party's for.
Oh, I know. They already lined up to get it. You know, Botox, she should head the line.
Yeah. Or the news media or, Adam Schiff or Jerry Nadler. Take your pick.
I mean, they need to change his name, but I don't think I could say it on the radio.
Well, I just want to know. I mean, he constantly looks as though his eyes look like they're going to. Well, that was not what I was thinking, Tom. But, yeah. You know, his eyes constantly look like they're about to bug out of his head. It's just he looks like he's on the happy train. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what he's on, but it's some good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he can come up with some really... Of course, then you have, Pelosi, who, apparently the ether is she's still using the smelling salts and that kind of stuff to stay going. But
Yeah, but she's got one of them little tubes that's about a foot long that she breaks with a hammer.
There you go. That's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. We thank you for joining us. Hey, remember, hero is not a four-letter word. God bless America. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!